selling lies and buying time, killing people that's in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they warm, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgive. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see their shit, force of air, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, the best little network on the freaking internet. And, I had a kind of a long night last night. We did the show on Revolution Radio, and then 1 o'clock-ish time, a young woman from Calgary, we've messaged over Facebook a few times in the past, and so we got talking. I ended up calling her last night, got to bed at 3:30 in the freaking morning. So she's going to come on in a few minutes, and I hope people find her inspirational. She's the youngest guest I've ever had. She doesn't think she's that young because she's, I think, 35 or something, but or from where I'm sitting, that's pretty young. That's most of the people we have on the show, and they're 50s, 60s, 70s. And it's so important that we get some younger people rolling here. So, then again, she's another woman. And she's feisty. And she's busting her tail. And she's scratching her head of why people are so ill-prepared to step forward. And well, that's Canada, isn't it? So bring her on here in a couple of minutes. Another thing I saw last night, and again, it's women again. I don't know where the guys went to, you know. I seen a thing last night. Apparently Bridget Bardot, who is the youthful age of 82, has been arrested 5 times on racism charges in France. Speaking out about what's going on in her country. And so at 82, you know, she was arrested, I think, last year again, and we've been 81 years old, and which is my attitude, that if you're breathing, you got work to do. And so, you know, she's, I forget what the female candidate's name is over in France, who is being hammered as a fascist. And this is the internationalists banging on the nationalists, because they don't want you to have a nation. They want everything internationalized. And if you say you're going to be an independent nation, that kind of throws a stick into their spokes. And they don't want that. So they come hard on people who want to stick up for their people and their countries. So, you know, if Bridget Bardot at that age can be out there banging away. But see, it all boils down to say what you mean and mean what you say. That's what it boils down to. If you're afraid to speak, then we're going to get run over. And so we'll deal with it. Now, There's something I saw in the chat here. Where did I see that? I saw something in here about some kind of a virus or something. Where is that? I can't find it now. Okay, let me try this. Here we go. Maybe I'll get it. No, I don't see it. Anyway, somewhere in here, somebody had put something in about 40% of the population or something. If you put that in there, if you could throw that back in there again, because, or if you have a link to it, I'd be very interested in looking at that. Probably has Bill Gates' name attached to it. But where the heck did that go? Anyways, if you know what I'm talking about, there was something in I saw go by here when we're getting this thing fired up. About 40% of the people have some kind of a brain problem or something. Fire that back in if you could. And if you do have a link to some of this information on that. Oh, here it is. This is from Hawks. Kind of creeped about the 40% of the world population having the tainted blood thing that affects the brain. Now, I don't know where that came from. I don't know if you got a link to some of this information or what. You know, because, you know, we did have, I don't know if they're still doing it, you know, we went through all those zombie parades there for a couple of years, and that's what they want. They want you just stupefied. They don't want you capable of an intelligent thought process. So, anyways, I'm going to bring in Karen, and we'll have a little chat. She's young, and she's fired up, and a little confused about what's wrong with people, and how you get them to run. Now, she's going to run, she has a child, and she's not going to pull her child out of school and homeschool. See, this is brilliant, because that's running away. Okay, that's not facing up to the problem we got. So she's going to run for school board, and we got to fix the problem. We got to get the education system. We got to get our paws on it. We got to get a hold of the local councils. That's where all the power lays. All of it lays there because it's all global to local, giving all the power to the global. And this party politics stuff is a garbage because it's all, everybody's vetted. And, you know, it's still the family compact is all that is. And we got to dispense with it or we're not going anywhere. And we don't need violence. We don't want violence. They want violence. We don't give them violence. That messes them up. And we just got to be smarter than them. And they're not real smart people. It's a cult. It really, all it is. Party politics is a cult. And everybody's vetted. So the people you get to vote for are the people they vetted, which are on side with the cult. So how's this, how does whether you vote blue or red or orange or green, you're not going anywhere, just spinning your wheels, and we're going down the tube. So Karen's got some interesting stuff to say, so we'll give her a shot, we'll give her a call, and get her in here, and see if we can have some fun today.
Hello.
Hello, Karen.
Hello.
Yes, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ron. How are you today?
Me, I'm fantastic. And you?
I'm great. Thank you very much.
That's good. I'm really happy to have you on the show today. I was just telling some people that you're going to run, you know, telling the folks you're going to run in the school board and why that's important. And it's very important because, as I was saying to them, is that, you know, people are pulling their kids out and homeschooling, but they're really running away from the problem, right? And I don't know. I always wondered about homeschooling because it kind of isolates the kid away from his friends. So you're going to run for the school board, right?
That's right. We do pay for our public school system, so I do believe that we should be just making sure that the school system, our education system, is working for us. There's a lot of concerns out there these days. As far as people homeschooling, I think there are a lot of great men and women that are homeschooling their kids, choosing this option because of their concerns, because of how much they care. I don't think I would say it's so much a bad thing, but our public school systems, we do owe something to it, right?
Well, we pay for it, therefore we own it, and therefore we should be in control of it, yeah?
That's right. I agree.
Yeah, so you know, I thought at one time, you know, I would just as soon everybody vacate the school system and, you know, go hire some retired teachers and instead of like a, you know, like an isolated homeschool kind of thing, you know, open up some private schools and get some retired school teachers who have woken up now. Realize, and I have some that call every now and again who they taught school their whole lives thinking they were doing the right thing, and it wasn't until after they got retired and got looking around to realize that they've been lying to everybody all the time, right? And they're
lying by the curriculum, you mean?
Yeah, and they're quite upset about it.
Okay, right.
You know, so there's really good people out there. We just need to find them. Type of thing, which is a tough part, I think. If it's getting easier.
And people, I mean, there are, I'm assuming tons of private institutions of, you know, people feeling that they can do this for families and for children and opening private schools or some of the online schooling to assist in homeschooling. Some of the bodies of these programs look really, really great because they are caring people, putting effort and initiative into it. So across the country, private institutions are built all the time, right?
Yeah. But the point you're making is that, you know, we already pay for this school system through the tax system, right? So you know, it makes much more sense to go in and get control of our school system and to have, you know, we don't have any input. Nobody has any input in the curriculum. These curriculum are constructed from outside. They're international curriculums now and then foisted upon the children. So, you know, we need to get a hold of it. So I'm just, you know, I'm tickled pink that you're standing up and going to run for the school board.
Well, and my story is that my son is actually 3 right now, so he will be starting his first year of school next year. So when I see everything and I have my own personal concerns about the education system, you know, knowing what we all know, then I absolutely find it important, because I will proudly say that I will not be putting my son into any specific institution if I know I have a problem with it, right? So I've even looked at other options. I was actually just talking about other options the other day, and options on homeschooling and, like I said, sites that look really great that other people have used, that they say that this is what their family's using and it's working, and they're, you know, their kids are doing well. Sometimes their kids, you know, they're keeping their kids in public school systems, and sometimes they're choosing other options. I don't like to see when friends of mine are posting, you know, things that their kids are coming home with or items that are in their curriculum, and that they're sitting in a reactive phase.
Exactly.
To what they're seeing in their schools. It's especially with lots of the people that we're talking to every day. It's like, We understand that there's a little bit too much ideology, a little bit too much of political identity, politics being like the politics are being used in our school system, and we all totally understand how, you know, when we hear something repetitive or we're learning something in a sense of being a child, that, you know, they're going to take things as fact, as face value, and in some aspects not even question it. So if we're not questioning it, our kids are unable to question it because they don't even understand.
There, you nailed it.
Who's standing up for what's going on in these little kids' heads? We have controversial issues.
You nailed it there, because I've said this so many times. You know, the parents take the child, say, oh, you're going to go to school today, but they don't know what's being taught to them. And the children are already pre-programmed from watching cartoons and whatnot. It's all programming. And then when they get to school, you know, they're basically empty vessels. They don't know anything, like you said, so you can fill their heads with anything. And then and then the kid comes home and the parent says, what did you learn at school today, right? And they tell the parent, and the parent goes, what? What the hell is
or
that?
Just shrug, and they're like, I don't know. And, you know, and they're going back to their to their toys. Or, they are too young to understand why some of the things that they are hearing is right and wrong. And it's almost, well, especially with the controversial topics and ideology, like I said, we have Alberta Teachers Association that has been involved in the NDP's overhaul of the Alberta curriculum. $64 million overhaul of our curriculum was decided we needed. And the Alberta Teachers Association was enthusiastic about how we are modernizing our education. And they said it's going to be like including things like climate change and a transgender equality being brought in with a mascot and a textbook on transgender rights. When our children that's being introduced to, you know, they're at an age when they're not even really experiencing sexuality or shouldn't be experiencing sexuality yet. Some parents that I've heard from on that topic are talking about their kids are only like 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah, what you're doing is you're killing the child. The childhood only lasts a little wee while, and they're actually killing the child by doing what they're doing with them. Like here in Ontario, we had we have a witch for a premier here, and she's a lesbian, and she was in charge of she was the Ministry of Education at one point, and the senior policy advisor for that branch was jailed for being a pedophile. Well, wait a minute, and it was they were pushing the early sex ed for the kids, right? And we have a pedophile that's working on the curriculum. Well, something's desperately wrong with this situation, right? But this is all the international nonsense, right? It's not coming from Alberta, right? It's most definitely not coming from Alberta. This is sameness throughout the world, right? And
that's right.
And it has to stop, because Albertans are, you know, if we don't have our own identities, Albertans are Albertans. I live there. And people in Ontario are Ontarians. People in Northern Ontario are different. People on East Coast are different. You know, we have to.
Everyone understands that when we're, and I mean, some of these people are gonna say these arguments are so extreme right of us, but yeah. When we know the globalists' agenda, and we know about how climate change is introduced into Canada. We know the transgender and the push for diversity and human rights. We know that all these warm and fuzzy feelings about our environments and about our rights here, they seem to be a little ass backwards. They seem to we have controversial conversations that even adults can't agree on yet on these topics, since they've just been introduced into Canada just over a year ago. And then we're putting it to our children in their pre-adolescent stages, and it's almost abusive to
it
have them talking
it's
about these controversial topics when we can't decide on these ourselves as adults yet. Our governments are going forward with climate change when a lot of people are disagreeing with that part of the agenda, and everyone knows it originates from the globalists. It originates with Agenda 2030. This is why we protest and our people, there's parental rights groups popping up all over the place, because
Excellent.
There's a lot of people that understand.
Excellent. And that's why I say we're going to win. You know, like propaganda only has a shelf life.
We're
going to
win.
Absolutely, we're going to win. And we just need the people to stand up. It's that simple. It's so simple. Just stand up and it's over. It's that quick. If we just stand up and say, you know what? We're taking our school system back, and take your climate change nonsense and shove it where the sun don't shine. We're not running that. We're not having carbon taxes. We won't have it. And we'll prove to you and the rest of the world that we were right and they were wrong. And then the rest of the world will follow. I was just saying, I saw a thing last night. Brigitte Bardot, I don't even know if you know who that is.
I actually don't.
No, she's 82 now. And she was kind of like a French sex symbol way back in the 60s, right?
Okay.
And she's an actress, and she's an adamant animal rights activist. She's been charged 5 times for racism in that, because she's a French woman who cares about her nation, and she's watching her nation go in the toilet, and she stands up and says what she means and means what she says, and then they attack her, right, for being a fascist in that. Well, a fascist is really a nationalist. And you only got two things. You're either an internationalist or a nationalist. Well, if you're an internationalist, then you don't give a damn about your people or your nation, which is the people. So you're either a nationalist or an internationalist. And that is not a fascist. Okay. That's somebody that wants the independence of their nation, not
right.
to be ruled by internationalists and international law and all the rest of this stuff. So, I mean, this lady's 82 and she's still standing up. So there's no excuse for the rest of us. None. We just got to get over this shyness of being Canadians. You know, Canadians say I'm sorry more times in a day than I think anybody else on the planet, you know.
Well, and like I said, it's such a controversial, sensitive topic. When we're talking about people that are choosing to be, that in their life, they are gay or they are lesbian. Majority of Canadians, we live and let live, and no one discriminates people for their personal choices for the most part.
Right.
But as far as a further influence in our schools, I mean, this specific topic alone is going to be a really hard one to talk about publicly, because people are going to get offended, and yeah, they're going to say, oh, like you're a bigot, you can't understand these people, they're going to fight for their rights, when at the same time, I'm not trying to take anyone's right away in anything I say. I'm not trying to take anyone's personal choices, but when as far as school goes, there's a really big difference between lifestyle and education. I think for the majority, people want their kids to be learning the basics, the math, the social sciences. Canadian history could really use a reform from what I've seen just personally in education. And they want our test scores up. They want our kids to be competitive in the future education that they're going to be going forward into. And so when everyone is pussyfooting around everybody's rights, and then these topics are going into our school above basic education, it's just like the poor kids, they don't even get the chance that the governments are actually saying that they're trying to modernize and make better. It's like I said, it's warm, fuzzy feelings when you talk about agendas like this, except for it has the absolute opposite effect. It's destroying kids' brains. It's not letting them grow and learn the same way that we all feel that would be a little bit more appropriate.
Well, the thing about this early sex education, I mean, if you study it carefully, what's going on in the schools now is it's not they're actually targeting kids, you know. They will find a kid who's depressed or a kid who's doesn't feel, you know, completely involved or that, and then they'll start firing this transgender nonsense at them. You know, maybe you'd be better, you know, maybe you're more of a female than a male, right? And these are little kids, right?
And kids are getting the hormone therapy before they're going through puberty. I don't understand that because
that's called child abuse. The whole school system to me right now, when you're teaching people nonsense about climate change, which isn't real, and you're teaching them about transgenderism and gays and lesbians and all, you can be anything you want except what you were born as. And they're propagating this nonsense. And the history of Canada is a complete and total lie. I mean, I went to go and do a night course one time. I didn't plan on it. Somebody called me to the high school to film a politician or something, which I never did see. But, you know, I went into the school and said, geez, it's been a long time since I've been in one of these places. And you still do night courses? And she goes, yeah. And I said, maybe we'll do a night course. And she said, that'd be great. So I had to go back and see the night course lady who knew me and start peppering me about, you know, what would I teach? And I said, I don't even know if I'm going to teach anything. I just want to know what my deal is here. Do I have to charge people? Do I have to get, you know, what do I got to do? And it wasn't interested in telling me that. I just wanted to know what I was going to teach. And so I finally looked at her and I said, okay, let me think about it. I know what I'll teach. I'll teach a course on Canadian history. I wish you'd have been there because she came across the desk with her finger pointed up my nose, her eyes bugged out of her head, and almost like in a Borg sound, we don't want anything radical here, right? We know who
we
you
We don't
are.
Want anything radical.
I said, you're absolutely correct, because if we were teaching real history, I guess it would be radical compared to what you're teaching, right? but I wasn't allowed to teach the course, right?
Well, and this is the thing, is am I, when I'm running for the school board, I mean, I really hope that I've never done this before. I'm learning the process. I would say that I personally have lots to learn about how this system operates in here because, like I said, a couple years ago, I wasn't so concerned. But now over the last couple years, it's been just getting more and more concerning. And I'm actually unsure how I'm going to approach this, knowing what we know, and then some people just really not ready to hear it at the same time. I might not be allowed to win this position if certain people are just going to be that closed-minded to what we actually have to say about our children's education.
Right. Now, when we were talking last night about the difficulty to get people to run for the school board or local council or all this kind of stuff, and it is a huge problem. People like to bitch and complain a lot, but when it's time for them to step up to the plate, they're going to make every excuse in the book. But what we've done here is maybe this is a different approach you could take to these people that may help to get some of them to run, because your election's in Alberta in October this year, right? So time is critical here. What we did here was it's not so important. If we go about this a little different with these people, who, you know, you have these rallies and that, trying to get people to understand what's going on. But a lot of people, when they see these rallies and that, they look at the people doing the rally. You got 50, 100 people out there, making speeches and whatnot. And if you watch the average person walk by, they look at it like, well, that's kind of odd. These must be radicals and all this kind of stuff. But if you can
well, and then they tune on the evening news, and that's right, exactly what TV is telling them.
Exactly. So, you know, the importance of running in the election is to win, but more important than that even is it's an opportunity. Now, we've done this here in Ontario a few times, and I have another lady who I just have the most utmost respect for. She has a disabled 40-year-old daughter who is like mentally 3 or 4, and she struggled with government trying to steal her kid and all this kind of stuff for years and years and years. But because of her child, that's what got her into being an absolutely supreme researcher. And she ran in the last election. She knew they weren't going to let her win. But she got a couple other people to run with her. And what that did was it gave them the opportunity to go and speak to people who were open to the idea of people coming to the door to speak to them during the election. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So
door-to-door work.
Yeah. Well, we use that as a gauge, to see, what do you see as a problem? Right. And then you can discuss that with them. Right.
People do need to be talking more in our communities.
Yes,
because there's globalists deciding what our kids should be learning when we could easily discuss some of these issues ourselves and decide for ourselves that is supposed to be the system that we have. Right.
We have a say in all this. Well, you have all the say in it because, one, it's your children. Two, you're paying for it, right? You pay for the buildings. You pay for the school board. You pay for the supplies. This is where your children go. And if the people who have the children going to the school don't have a say in the curriculum, then we got a humongous problem because you have these other people that are completely detached from your kids deciding what kind of people they wish to manufacture, basically, right? So you take a young child and put him in a school who knows nothing about anything, and he's brought through this system where these psychologists and these globalists decide how they're going to basically get the kids to believe the lies that are being foisted upon them. And then when they get out of school, they believe all of this stuff. Like I have some young people that I run into every now and again who are like in grade 9 or 10 who have actually been asked to leave the school. And I told them, you were asked to leave not because you were disruptive, but because you were asking questions, right? And the school is like a cult, because if you have any intelligence at all and you start to ask relevant questions of the teachers, which they don't want to answer, then you become a disturbance to the class.
Here's the thing, the other
students to start that.
Well, and here's the thing, like you just said, we're talking about our schools, like they're cults. We're talking about government parties and they're cults, right? The thing is that we have our municipality elections this fall here in Alberta, and over the last year and a half, we have been reacting to a lot of news that's been coming out of our federal and provincial governments about how we are, who we are. They like to tell us who we are, when in fact, like for the 35 years of my life, I see a totally different picture of what Canadians are and who they are. I see that we have good people, our children are good kids, and that people are doing everything they can by their families. And at the same time, public services, I've had to use public services myself. Even family services have been involved in my life. I was in the foster care system temporarily when my dad was in an accident when I was a teenager, and he was hospitalized for a couple of months, so I got placed in a temporary foster home. When we talk about crooked systems, I actually have seen some of the good people in our systems, because none of my situations with public services and none of my situations in high school and elementary school were personally bad for me. This is why I look around and I see I have faith in people. I actually trust people. And then when we have this new ideology that is very much about dividing people, it's controversial topics, we're putting children that are refugees that can't even speak English, that have very strong religious beliefs. This is another example of how it's hard for our kids They have very strong religious beliefs, and you know, in Canada, we're free to practice any religion that we want, but we have chosen to not put it in our public schools because we want our kids to be able to focus not on lifestyle, on education. So then you're having these strong religious beliefs in some students, and then at the same time, our students are being told to stand up and they have the right to be gay, and they have the right to choose transgender and transitions. We're putting these topics in front of kids, and they are going to be arguing it just because of the beliefs that their parents have instilled into them. Putting these topics past our, where we can watch, you know, where we can watch our kids and protect our kids where we see fit from conversations. That's the point, the point here to get more involved and to put a real line. It's a black and white issue. We want education before ideology and political tactics, because these are our children and we have the right to instill family values and to instill our histories to guide our children to shape them into strong individuals, and to let our cultures, like our family, our roots be spread on to our kids, right?
Well,
so
this,
their
that
tactics seem to really be preventing kids from wanting to get involved in their family units. There's alienations going on, and it's such a complicated topic. To go public with all this information in a election process for the school board, I would say I'm just a little nervous. I'm a little nervous on how it's all going to go.
If people
could pull up a history on me and see that, you know, I've been in the system as well, and maybe they'll say, because of these couple incidents you've had in your past, and no, absolutely no way. I fear that that'll happen too, but I'm just going to fight. I'm just going to fight for my son's future.
When you run for the school board, right? That's the same as running in the municipal election, right? You got the opportunity to go knock doors, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the whole ticket right there, is that you get to go knock doors. So, you know, you are now, you're like the bright light to these people, because the majority of the people are dissatisfied with the education system.
Yeah.
Now, the other candidates are going to be going to the door, and they're going to be puking off this globalist nonsense, right? And you are actually a quite well versed lady, you are, and so when you go to the door, you know, you're saying, you know, what is it that you're not pleased about the school system, right? And they're going to empty their guts on you, right?
That's right.
Okay, because they're not happy.
Well,
either.
And we do. We empty our guts. We empty our guts to each other all the time.
But this is the importance of going to the doors. And the election is the opportunity when people are open, right?
And they're not
happy with the candidates. So when you show up at the door, like, you're like a breath of fresh air, right?
You were talking about our rallies. I've actually been really involved in the rally scene in Alberta since the NDP got in. We did the November 5th rally against to have a referendum to the Climate Leadership Implementation Act. This is the carbon tax in Alberta. And then we've had a couple rallies that would be considered freedom marches. We're talking about free speech. We're talking about M103 and things like that. So our attendance on some of these events are pretty...
You can't talk about M103. What are you, nuts? I'm just kidding.
Well, we get...
I'm just kidding.
Well, let me explain. Is that because of our groups, flat out, none of us are white supremacists or racists. We're talking about Canadians here, the average Canadian person, and our communities and concerns. But we've had, right from the get-go, we've had opposition to our protests, and then we've had media that has literally slandered, defamed, and what they're doing, what is it, libel? They're committing libel, like, because they have identified, for me personally, they've identified a group that I belong to that's protesting and saying that they actually aired that our protests are anti-immigrant. So, for example, there is they're lying about us and our purpose. Our marches weren't called anti-immigration marches to begin with, and they just totally twisted around what we did.
Well,
so the rally.
They don't want people to stand up, right? And if you guys are attracting attention, they got to try and knock you down because the last thing they want is people who say, you know what, these people are telling the truth and we need to stand with them. So they go and knock them down. And then the people, you know, I'm sure there's lots of people watching the news when they do one of these hack jobs on you guys that's going, yeah. You know, the white husband and wife are sitting there and say, you know, Harry, these people are telling us the truth. Yeah, well, look at the hassle. I don't want to get involved in that because, you know, I don't lose my job and I don't want to, I'm a Canadian. So this is, again, why it's so freaking important to concentrate on the opportunity to get to the doors, which is the election process, right? Because now you don't have the interference of the media. It's one-on-one. Right.
That's right. And it's non-political party. You run in these as an individual. You run in these not part of left or right. You run in these as an individual.
Absolutely.
And so when people what I find is awesome about people, the groups, the rally groups, all the Facebook pages and the networks that are building and what our rallies are doing is what we're doing is we're building support. We're actually getting to know more and more people in our neighborhoods. These rallies, to me, are more like a little bit town halls because we get to meet people in our communities and pull people out to come in and talk about things a little bit more. So some rallies where, like, they don't seem to be serving a purpose. I tell people all the time, don't be discouraged by this. You still need to get out and get involved because we do put public awareness in the hands of people as they're walking by. And it's just a very slow process to gain some support in our communities. And what I'm trying to do through my live feeds and through my rallies that I host here in Calgary is I purposefully bring up, don't forget, conservative leadership race is coming up. Don't forget, we have the Wild Rose leadership coming up. Everyone needs to get their memberships. They need to vote. And if you're passionate enough to change things, then we actually have people that will train, that can train in these processes that are just like you said, like retired teachers. These are retired politicians that hold seminars. They teach you. They've taught me so much already about, the activist ladder, so to speak. When I originally got involved in these rallies, it wasn't for a career for myself. It wasn't for a position or anything that I was looking for. What has happened now is that it's developed into this because I won't stop doing more about this. We have so many problems, and this is a position that I've seen that I can help because personally, I'm not an MLA, I'm not an MP, I'm definitely not as intelligent in this scene. And you said I'm articulate, but I actually do have issues just pulling some of these facts that we know off the top of my head when I am in a conversation and it's just being asked to me. So I feel as I've looked at where I could just help further, in my community.
Well,
I feel that the school board is a really good place for me because I love kids. I really care about kids. Anyone that knows me will say that I'm great with kids. And I even when my friends' kids, when we're just hanging out doing whatever, I'll ask the kids, how's school? Are you standing up for your friends? Are you being a good kid? Are you getting good grades? And I put it on them. As we expect our kids, and we know our kids are good kids. So I really don't like it when I hear that people are telling us that our kids have any problems and making it upon themselves because my friends that are parents, they're really good people and their kids are great kids. Like, we can actually capitalize on all their individual strengths and talents, and we should be promoting that they can be anything that they can be. Of course, it may include some controversial things down the road for them, but it's to provide a safe environment where they can focus on learning.
Exactly. And you know, there's only the three important things. I don't know if they're doing this in Alberta now, but here in Ontario, they've removed cursive writing from the school system. So the kids don't know how to write. They only know how to print now, which is ludicrous.
I've heard about that. Some kids are still learning how to write because I've asked around a little bit. Some still are. Same with computers. I was asking, they say that there's only so many per classroom and that lots of their time, they're not all parked in front of computers. I think it would depend on certain facilities and how much funding has gone into them and how much they're pushing agendas in certain areas, maybe, because so far, especially in Alberta, we're just starting to get little taste of it, right? So before it becomes a big problem here, think there's several things that we could just nip in the bud right now and, to put our foot down and then hope that we can just carry on with basic education.
You know, I had a teacher on my show one time from Ottawa, and I used to have this teacher call me all the time who is from Toronto, and she's probably retired now, but she was teaching in the reserves in northern Alberta and Saskatchewan and that. And she was doing it because she felt she had a duty because of what happened to the native people. And she used to call me all the time and we'd talk, and I was trying to get her on the show, and she called from the reserve one time and I said, these places are basket cases, right? It's ridiculous. And they had to idle no more. Like, she called me up and she went, what the hell's going on? And I said, all of a sudden, you know, I'm in a town of like 1,400 people or something in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden everybody's running around the streets, you know, with these idle no more signs and all this kind of stuff. I said, it's all UN stuff. Don't worry about it. It's the same as Occupy. And I was talking to her one night and trying to encourage her to come on the show, and she had a younger teacher with her there, and her younger teacher's saying, you know, you're almost to retirement, and we did sign a bunch of paperwork. And I'm afraid if you go on the show, you may lose your pension. So she didn't come on the show. But then I had a guy from Ottawa who was a regular teacher, and he couldn't even stand being in the staff room, right? Because everybody was indoctrinated, the teachers. They didn't want to hear it. Like, he was trying to explain stuff to them. They didn't want to hear about it, right? So he's being chastised all the time. So then he went from being a regular teacher in a single school to a floating teacher, right? And that gave him more leeway in that. But he was scared to death to come on the show. And he finally came on the show, and he did a brilliant job. And then he got back to me a day or two later and said how nervous he was to do the show. And then he said, but, you know, I'm so glad I did it, because now I've made a decision. And I go, what's your decision? He said, I'm not going to lie to the children anymore, right? And that's a huge step. The teachers, a lot of the teachers know what they're doing in the school is wrong, right? And they would like to speak up, but they're like everybody else. They're afraid, right? And we got to get by that fear.
What you did right there is you supported someone and you had a discussion with someone. And then what happens when you have more and more people that are vocalizing that they feel the same way, then it's also motivating and inspiring that people, for one, are not alone. We are never alone, you know. Right. No one has to stand alone on this. No one has to feel that there's nothing that they can do, because if we want things changed, and just like our Calgary school board here, I'll be asking people, if we want things changed, what do you want changed? And then I'll be saying, anytime what I take away from conversations and long discussions like the ones we have and that we have with others, hours and hours of discussions on these topics are needed, more hours are needed. But what I take away from it is anytime someone says, you know what we should do, or, hey, I have an idea, or things like that, it's like, good, great. And so this is why I'm in our streets, is because we've had so many ideas on things that should be better, or should be different, things that we can change. And I just put my hand up and I just say, okay, I'll go to work on that. Like, everyone wants to talk about M103 some more. We don't like this motion. I'll go out into the streets and I'll talk about that some more. Absolutely. So, me getting involved is because like I said, because I want things to be different in this area that's so concerning in our cities. And I believe, especially with all the intellectual people that are around, that we talk to, that are in our networks, that are in our cities, and what you and I discuss is that it is groundwork. It is going door to door. It is making people get involved and showing them that we have a system, that we actually do have a say in it. The people are so much more powerful than these couple dozen people that are just leaders of our governments right now. The people are quite a powerful weapon.
Well,
so when I go out, I'm putting it out there saying, I give my email address. I spell out my name so they can find me on Facebook. I say, call me, because there's so many ways that you can get involved. And we start with our city. I go out in Calgary because this is the city I live in. We start here in Calgary. We make changes here in our streets. And hopefully I'm, just leading by example, and there just needs to be more people.
But everything you're saying is what I've been trying to tell people for a long, long time. This is how we build back our country.
I know.
Is how we build a strong nation.
A few decades there, right?
And yeah. I have a guy that says I'm 138 now. But this is what we have to do. Now, I have some people in here asking, actually some people from Alberta in the chat here, who are asking for a contact. Now, you have a Facebook. I know that. I don't know if you have a website or anything, but you do have a Facebook, right?
Yeah, well, and I'm pretty independent.
I have some people in here looking for your contact who wish to get on side with you in your work. And
that's
so
great
and so
to hear.
Forth.
Well, I'll give it to you right now. Everyone can have it.
All
of Canada can have it. My name is Karen Draper. So Karyn Draper. That's how you'll find me on Facebook. My page is public, so nothing's blocked. You should be able to see what I've been up to right away.
Yeah, the folks.
And
in
then
here, one thing. I just wanted to butt in here for a second. It's not.
Yeah.
I see your name coming up here, spelt as my sister's name is Caryn, but you are Caryn, right?
Karyn. Yeah.
Right, Karen Draper. And you can get to her Facebook from there, and you can hook up to her message thing there, and then you guys can hook up. But this is actually, I mean, we talked for a long time last night, it was encouraging. The whole thing was encouraging to me, because you're just what we need to multiply, right? When you sit down and you actually think about it, there's 34 million people in this country, and you got a handful of party officials, which are all, it's a cult, make no mistake about it, because everybody's vetted. You only vote for who they vetted, right? You didn't pick the candidates. The parties picked the candidates. So you're only voting for who they picked. And they're all vetted, and they're all in house. So you're not going anywhere voting, kind of thing. We need to change that system out, so that the people pick the people, not the parties. The parties are there to divide and conquer you, and that's what they've done. So if there's no
opposition to just these city municipality positions, the ones where everyone can get involved, if there's no opposition, I actually feel that it's lacking, lots of information. I mean, just the same as we have good teachers that are regretting that they've taught lies, or we have people that, they become police officers, they become social workers, they become doctors. We still have to trust in each other that people are choosing these paths for in the community's best interest, for positive reasons. We have been deceived by so many people, but we actually have to just still trust in each other. And I would totally, like anyone that chooses to run for mayor here in Calgary, that I see is a good person that we would consider like one of us, you know, and this isn't a left or right thing. This is a right
no.
or wrong thing, right?
Exactly. You got it right there. Right and wrong. That's it.
That's right. If we see somebody like you, I hear you run for your mayor elections. You haven't won yet. I hear you're going to run again.
I would have won in 2014, but they wouldn't let me run because of some technicality they came up with, because I scared the hell out of them in 2010. But I talked another lady into running, and I went out and knocked doors with her. Because
right.
what I really wanted to see was in 2010, we couldn't touch too many topics because people weren't being pushed against the wall yet. By 2014, people were really starting to be pushed against the wall. And I would go up and I would introduce myself. You know, I'd say, I'm Ron. I'm just helping Sheila do some campaigning. And then people would go, we know who you are. Why are you not running? So I will win the next election hand down. I mean, people still think I won the one in 2010.
I would support you because I know you as a person and I would absolutely assist any way I can to promote and support your campaign. Cause this is what I'm saying is when people see that there's, you know what we should do? Oh, hey, I have an idea. I'm going to run for mayor, to help change things. That's when I put my hands up and I say, okay, I'll promo that. What do you need? Right.
Right.
So
if
the support
if all
in
of
our
us
community.
Help each other, it gets very simple. But here's a typical case, and I don't know. I don't know if this was from Calgary or not. This is someone called On Knowingness. Maybe he can put something in here and teach me, explain it to me. But what he says here is they will tell you the whole story, and then you will think things will change, but really it hasn't. Sheila Taylor, and I don't know if she's from, I think this guy's from Alberta. Sheila Taylor was an excellent trustee, but she could not change the system. And she tried and tried and tried and tried. No fundamental changes. But this is the problem. This is the problem. Sheila, was that her name? Sheila is one person, okay? On a board, I take this as the education board, but she's a trustee, one trustee. So however many trustees you got, if there's six or seven trustees, Sheila is trying to make change, but the rest of the trustees are not. So, of course, it makes a very long, miserable trip because Sheila's busting her ass and these people are cult people. And they're not going to go on Sheila's side because they're working for the globalists. Now, this is why it's so important.
And sometimes unknowingly, like they're unknowingly working for globalism.
Because they it's the same as when they're teaching kids that they want to be transgendered. They patronize these people. They stroke their egos. They make them feel important. And most of these people are really not very bright people. Because they would see through this and they would fight back against it. They're just there for the ride and they feel important and they get to go to these meetings and this and that and the other thing. So what I'm trying to say is this is why it's so important that we run a bunch of people. Like what you'll end up with is say, so and so is running for council. This is great. No, it's not great. Why aren't
you running
for council as well? Because what we need, we can't make change without the majority vote.
That's right. Elon, you know what it's like to rock the boat, right? You know what it's like to rock the boat. In some cases, especially as things have kind of really slipped out of parents' control, we need to rock the boat a little bit here. And we need to, and you know, other people are running for the school board. Like I said, other people have good intentions as well. They just don't understand, and they don't know everything that we all know. So it is going to be a sensitive topic to blow the tops off of a couple issues and to actually explain or get it through to people why this is wrong for our children in our schools.
You will agree with this, I think, okay? This is a education process of our people. We have to educate our people. We can't expect our people to just say that everything that they've been taught and everything they believe that they're obligated to do has been a big lie. You know, it's very difficult for people to, you know, let go of a lie, because Psych 101 spells it out very clearly that once the mind has accepted a lie as a truth, it's very difficult for the mind to let go of that supposed truth, which is a lie, and throw it out and embrace the truth. It's very difficult. And the people that program us through the media and through the school systems and through movies and everything else know this game, right? They know it inside and out. That's why I say it's a spiritual psychological war. But
because we're rocking the boat here, you know, we could get a little bit more quote extreme right on them if they want. Education 2000 is absolutely a program that has been created by CIA, been created in the MKUltra programs. When we get a little deeper into why we are in the positions that we are in today, there is a dark side. Education 2000 says exactly what you just said, is that people are going to accept, they actually quote in this Education 2000 program, they quote, kids are going to be intelligent. They're going to be able to retain a lot of information, but what they are going to do is they're going to see information and just accept it as at face value, and they are going to lack the ability to be able to reason or comprehend why this information could be any different,
exactly.
Right?
And
I mean, you talked about children earlier. You talked about how the Native groups have had children being taken from them. That's a whole other topic as far as family services and what family services has done in the past for children. There's actually a friend of mine out in BC who I'll be participating in his event in August. We'll talk about that actually more later, because you should totally be streaming some of the stuff from that event. It's going to be hard to go in and blow the tops off of some of these things that are actually quite corrupt in our system.
That's
but
right.
The purpose of my rallies, when I'm putting out my live feeds and I'm asking people to call me, and I'm telling them that there's, you know, MLA positions here, or there's municipality positions here. We have to go to work right away to actually start going door to door to wake up our neighbors, to build the support that we need to win these campaigns. And in the meantime, while we're meeting each other and everyone's discussing, everyone will find their interests and their areas where they are the best, you know, like where they fit in. You know, everyone kind of falls into place, and everyone does have a place in our system. I believe so many people around me that we talk to all the time are super intellectual, and they deserve these positions over other people. And so then if we're all working together and we use our networks to support each other, we win. We win over here, and it's going to be fun. Remember, that's going to be our slogan, right?
Make it fun.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to take our system back. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be liberating.
It is. And we will win this. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, simply because we don't have a choice. But you brought up a really interesting point while you were talking there, is that you don't have to wait until the election process begins to go knocking doors, right?
Nope.
You can go. People can go to the door and say, and this may help some of your people convince themselves that they have the right stuff to run.
First, I need people.
If you can go and convince some of your people, you know, go take a couple of blocks, right? We'll print something up pretty easy, right? Not hardcore stuff. Something pretty easy. Right.
I actually have this pin map system. It's an online app. It's a tool kind of like Nation Builder. So I kind of like politicians use, except for I just kind of created it. But you can put a little pin on, let's just say, Riverbend, Calgary, an area of Calgary, put a little pin on it. And when you click that pin, you can write a description. Right. So that description will be like, okay, this is my area. So Karen, I've got the door-to-door work in this area, right? There's actually so many tools to organize outreach in our community.
Yeah, but the
I'm ready. I'm
is,
ready. I'm ready to help people get organized and to put people to work. It's going to be a lot of volunteer. It's going to be a lot of volunteer work, but our time invests into our children's future at this point. And we're to stand up for what we believe in. We're going to rock the boat. We're going to make some noise, and we can make it fun. And lots of people will agree with us as we're telling them, filling them in on what our purpose is and what and why we're running. Right.
But if we just go back to what you touched on it, I'm not sure if you even caught what you said there, but what I see is a real opportunity to get some of your people that go to your rallies and whatnot. Right. You can't campaign before a certain period. Right. You can't do that because of their rules, because they don't want you out hustling before. But what you can do is you can turn it around a little bit, and you can say, hi, I'm Ron, and I'm thinking about possibly running in the next election, in the municipal election, as a councillor or mayor or school board or whatever. And I just want to touch base with some of the people to see what your concerns are, if they're the same as my concerns and that. So it's not a campaign now. It's just people talking to people. But because you're going to the door and you say, I'm considering possibly running for one of these positions during the election, you're not running, but you're considering it, so they can't give you a hard time down at the election place. And get into a conversation with these people as to, how do you feel about your children or grandchildren, what they're being taught in the schools? How do you feel about this global warming thing? Nice dog, right? Just a regular old conversation. And I think that if that was to start now, because the elections are in October, if you could get some of your folks out doing some of this stuff and find out actually how enjoyable it actually is, that you could probably get a hell of a pile of people to run come October.
That's right. Right now I'm looking for people to help me ask these questions in our public and in turn it is going to build a public support and response, because people will agree quickly. I find anytime I'm meeting someone, just like I went to my community town hall, we have a little group meeting here, and it was my first time attending. And what do you know? I met a whole bunch of cool people that are really, really nice, and they have Alberta Proud stickers on the back of their trucks too. There's so much division right now. There's so much a fear that we can't, and then the fear that we can't change things and make a difference. When I see that every single person actually really has the same train of thought and is in the same mindset about what they think our country is looking like right now, and okay. So yes, I'm looking for these people. I'm looking for people
here's
to get involved
here.
Right now.
Here's a gentleman that I hope hooks up with you, which is Karen K A R Y N Draper. And this gentleman, he's ran three times in the past, but I may run a fourth. But he's not in Calgary now. He's Foothills. He's an MD of Foothills or whatever territory.
Okay.
But this is a gentleman that's run three times. He understands. He writes, it's dark, it's evil, and it's satanic, which he's absolutely correct. It is satanic. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's good and there's evil. And,
right.
And what's being shoved down our throat is pure evil. When I was at the municipal hall, because they sent police here trying to get so I couldn't go to the municipal hall and speak to the staff or speak at council meetings any longer, which was kind of interesting. But I was up there one day, and they tried, when I used to go up there, they always have somebody follow me around with a gun, right? And I'm peaceful, but they didn't like the challenge, right? And so I was up there one day. So they tried all kinds of things to intimidate and what they do. And I was up there one day, and then they moved over to the patronizing position of being glad to see me all of a sudden. So I went in there, and all the staff came out oh, hi, Ron. How are you? How's everything going? And I looked at all the women. And I said, me, I'm great. I'm always great. And I said, and how are Satan's little helpers? And they all went, we, they all went, they all went, they all went, we wish you wouldn't say that. And I said, I got to call it as I see it, right? You know, and a lot of the staff, a lot of the staff wanted me to be mayor. They're sick and tired of this crap, right? They're absolutely sick and tired of it. But at the same time, they're beholden to their paycheck, right? And that makes a whole lot of people do a whole lot of things.
Yeah, I don't get paid. I don't get paid to do the activism I do. And I understand how people don't have time because they have to afford cost of livings and stuff too. That's why another reason why we need more people on the team helping is because none of this can be on one person's shoulder. I take a lot on my shoulders and I do my best, but we need more people to get involved because no one has to, like, we're not standing alone here. Everyone can get involved, and then it builds such a big strength. You know, it's part of the movement. Right now, there's a movement happening in Canada.
It's beautiful. You know,
yeah, it's actually a lot of fun. Like, patriotism rocks, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that patriotism is not fascism, okay?
Regardless of what they say about us.
Right. But we care about our people.
That's right.
And that's our job.
And that's why when they're telling, like, say, for example, some people are going to be really hard on me when I'm out there saying what I got to say. They're hard on me. They treat me like crap, trying to shut me down just because they don't believe the same as me. It's another reason we need support behind anyone running for municipality elections.
You understand their game. That's the beauty. Once you understand their game, anything they come at you, it just rolls like water off a duck's back, right? You know, they will try to intimidate. They will try all kinds of nonsense.
Have the globalists. They'll have the globalist money behind their campaign.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they get the lobby groups and all these discussion groups and rights groups. I mean, they invite people. Come, we'll give you pizza. We'll give you coffee. We'll give you come and be a member of this really cool kids club. Right. And check out this guy. We're gonna vote for him. He's so cool. He's in our cool kids club, and they buy their support. Whereas the people that are working hard, middle class family people, they're struggling to get by financially. So there is also a lack of funds behind these campaigns. People that are doing good, and I don't even know where to start to make sure that everything is successful in these municipality elections. I don't have any experience, and even my past experience is non-related. Well, and that's the thing, is I don't care. I don't care what anyone says about me. I don't care what anyone tries to do to stop me.
You care about your child. You care
this
about
this is my son we're talking about.
You care about your nation. That's all that's important. Everything else will look after itself, right?
Yeah, and I don't even care about the money. I don't even care about the money that they have. You know what I mean?
You have done what we try to encourage on this show, really, is you have completely lost your fear of anything. Okay, you're in now for the long haul, and that's the whole deal. We get enough.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
Attitude. We get enough people with that attitude. It is over, right? So we just keep putting one foot in front of the other. We keep talking to people, and this is the one thing that people really need to understand. And I've said it so many times. I was talking to a lady at the reserve one time, went up to get smokes. I was so frustrated. I've been doing this so long. I was so freaking frustrated. And I asked her, I said, you know, do you understand the plan for Whitey? Meaning everyone that's not native, right? And she didn't even say anything. She just looked at me, smiled, and nodded yes. And this lady was in her 50s or whatever. And I thought, okay. And then I asked her, I said, why do you get it so easy? And talking to Whitey, like beating your head on a wall. And she said, it's simple. We live through it. Now it's your turn. And what they're doing is they're driving us off the land into the cities, which are the new reserves. The state has taken the children, just like they took the natives' children, right? It's the same shit.
They've actually proposed some more changes to their family services. Just recently, the Liberal Party has tabled some things. I believe I read that they want to change parts of the Family Services Act where it includes that if they believe parents are not supporting their child's sexual orientation or if not supporting religion that the child wants to pursue, that this could be a reason that they take our kids away too. Basically, summarizing what I read, it says that they're just going to make up whatever reason that they want
to take our kids. That's all they've ever done.
Yeah.
I mean, what did they do to the native people? I mean, they called them heathens. And, this thing that, I get really ticked off about this, that these, it was the Christians that killed all the natives. No, it wasn't the Christians. It was the corporate investors.
And the satanic, Satanists, the Catholic churches, right?
Right, because all of these people who, hundreds and hundreds of millions of people have been killed and nobody's ever showed any remorse that was in charge of the killings. These are not nice people.
Yeah.
And we got to get them out of here.
When people say that the white man doesn't care about native, the aboriginal groups in our community, it's absolutely bullshit because we, even when the liberals ran, they were saying that they're going to be doing this big aboriginal reach out. And then we still, a year and a half later, have very, very minimal contribution to picking some of these people up in the communities that are broken. And they like to just buy off band leaders and get Parks Canada in. And it's still more property that people are losing. It's still more rights people are losing.
Leaders, the band leaders are no different than a cult politician. I've been to enough reserves that the chief living in this big house with three new trucks, and the farther you get into that reserve, the worse it gets. And it's the same system. When I was at the reserve here, I was talking about the council, and I didn't talk to any natives that didn't want their council hung because the council is running the globalist agenda on them.
That's right. When everyone can get real on this topic is that, majority, and when we're talking about band leaders here, we're not talking about all band leaders. Like, these are corrupt band leaders that have gone into collusion with the Liberal government, and they still make up a minority in our country. They just have money backing them and promo and lobby groups and things that they pay for to make
liars.
It look like all warm and fuzzy and wonderful, and this is, and all of Canada's is the future is friendly and it's successful. It's a farce, and it's and they still represent just a minority of the people in Canada. They just look like, it looks like we've lost control, but it's only because we have, like right now they do have so much control. So this is why we get involved now and we flip the script, right?
But this is another thing that I really liked, right? Like, David Rockefeller says, I've been accused of being an internationalist. If that's the charge, I stand guilty and I'm proud of it. Now, David Rockefeller also said that, in 99, our window, that was one of the best quotes I ever read in my life, because I was getting frustrated. I've given up everything. I've almost lost my house twice. You can't do this 24/7 and run much of a business. But he said in 99, our window of opportunity has already begun to close. And I said, okay, that means they're going to have to push hard now, which means they're going to affect everybody negatively, which is going to get people asking questions, right? And we're going to slam the window down on your old bony fingers, right? Because we're taking our country back, right? And so there's nothing really negative that I see. Everything from here on in is positive. Everything's in our hands to do what we're going to do. And if we do it, we get our country back. And we get our children back, and we get a proper school system. We get a system of government that is by and for the people, and we will be the shining light for the rest of the world.
I fully believe that. Yep.
And it starts where you live, where your feet are. Okay.
That's right.
Don't look out, look in. Right. People are so
distracted. Well, Ron, you give me so much hope.
You mentioned that last night about.
I was going to say, you give me so much hope, like, in the support that you give me and the conversations we've had, same as many people across the country. People are supporting each other because we do have good ideas. And we have hope because when I have hope is because I, like you said, I see that we see this opportunity that it's not all lost, that we haven't lost everything, that we can make a difference. It's very motivating. It's very uplifting. It's going to be fun taking our country back.
Yeah, it's a fantastic time to be alive. You know, it's our forefathers came here to get out from under the boot of tyranny. And our spirits, minds, and spines have been weakened over time, and they put the boot of tyranny back on us. And just like our forefathers did, they went to a different land. We have no more land to go to. So we get to shake that boot of tyranny off of us right here. And so there's no reason for anybody to be depressed. This is the great awakening, if you will, of the people.
it is a little scary. It is scary. People are very afraid. And people fear losing our kids, losing our country. People fear the upcoming wars and possibilities of civil wars being our country if we don't get a grip on things. Right? People fear this, but I personally believe because of the system and because of Canadian, because even though Canada has been alive for 150 years, as far as our constitution and that we are a democracy, it's kind of been a dictator. Like you said last night, we kind of live in a dictatorship, even though it's supposed to, that we say it's a democracy. It's not the heart of the average Canadian that, like, I mean, we all believe in Canada and our system and our policies because it's been chosen, it's been portrayed to us as warm, fuzzy feelings. We believe in those warm, fuzzy feelings. It's too bad. It's too bad that they lie to us all the time and they do the exact opposite. But I'll go forward with these same warm and fuzzy feelings saying that Canada can be strong and everyone can be united. Except for I mean it, right?
One of the things are less and less people are voting now because more and more people are come to the understanding, what's the difference? If I vote for these guys, they turn out to be the same as the guys we voted out. So they're getting the idea now that this party politic thing is a sham.
It is deceptive. It totally is deceptive.
Yeah. So people are getting that idea, and it shows in the number of people voting. So we are waking up, but it's always that fear factor, right? I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to, you know, it's that old story, you know, first they came for so-and-so and I didn't say anything because I wasn't one of them. Then they came for so-and-so and they came for, and then when they came for us, or when they came for me, I looked for support, but there was nobody left. And that's the game they basically play, right?
That is actually my biggest fear as far as running for school board is that when someone is going to be like, they're going to be shooting me down. They're going to be, they're going to be giving me heck. And I am just really hoping that I have thousands of people behind me, saying, that like shutting them down, telling them to not talk about their friend like that. I don't like the way people are talking about each other. We need to stand up for each other. We need to stand up for the people that are doing good things in their communities and make sure that we make our own news here going forward because like I said, if people are shooting me down, I'm just hoping that, or if we have someone running for mayor and they're getting slandered all over because people understand that this mayor is going to change things on their agendas, then we need thousands of people standing up for that person saying, we actually support this person. So you're not going to get very far with that. Right. It's about the support for all these people that are going to be running in the fall. And we have to go boots to the ground to find it for them, right?
That's right. Boots on the ground. That's it. You know, like you said last night, you know, people get, there's so much noise out there and people get distracted, you know. Oh, you know, my brother-in-law was over there last week or something and he stares at his big 60-inch screen TV and sucks his shit up. And he says, well, what do you think about Trump? What do I care about Trump? Right? I don't care about Trump. What do you care about Trump? He says, well, he's talking about Borum in North Korea. But you still watch The Simpsons. I mean, give me a break, right? You know, like you can't. That's what I've been trying to tell people. The only place that you can make a difference is where your boots are. That's it. So just put your blinders on, and all of this noise that's coming at you from everywhere that you cannot do a damn thing about, don't let that take away your energy, right? Concentrate your energy. They put blinders on a horse when it's in a race.
When you, right? the energy thing, just our energy levels just hit a nerve, because you and I were talking about Albert Pike and the Three World Wars. You know, you were just talking about wars with Trump and North Korea. So what Albert Pike said in about the Third World War is that people are going to be too tired. People are going to not be able to organize. And this is how Third World War is going to happen, without people being able to stop it, is because people are too tired, or people can't make it out to these elections, or people don't have time. It doesn't make sense to me. I see an opportunity where we can actually be successful.
It's a huge opportunity.
And I hope everyone understands that what stress and fear does to a person, when we're living in a fight or flight mode, our brain actually is unable to think logically and reasonably, because of the stress. It has to do with that compartment train of thinking. It has to do with, when we don't think, our frontal lobes are not operating efficiently when we are stressed out. So what I find is when we're sitting and when we're in these in-length conversations, such as town halls, such as on the phone across the country, we're talking cool, we're talking calm, and our best ideas are coming forward. We should be recording everything we say, because we have the best ideas, we have the best intentions, and we really are thinking about each other and each other's families and children in this situation. Like me running for school board, I'm absolutely compassionate and caring about everyone's families and their children. We can talk about it a little bit more coolly and calmly with like-minded people, and then we come up with solutions that'll work.
Okay,
that are good ideas.
I have a couple of questions for you, Karen. And this is actually from Kathy, who I'd mentioned earlier, who is just a kick-ass. She ran in the election. Last election in 2014 here, and then the same. I mean, she is adamant that you got to get on the doors. I mean, you can't. You can't gauge the feeling if you're not talking to those that have the feeling, right? But anyway, she says, ask this girl. I take it that's you, Karen. For me, if Alberta parents are being pushed to enroll their kids at age 3, now I guess they're being pushed here to enroll them earlier and earlier. Have you heard anything about putting your kids in at grade 3 or at age 3?
I haven't heard, but let's send that question out, because me personally, I believe my son is 3 right now, but he has a late birthday, so I'm waiting till next year. Because I want my son to just be a kid for a little while, and I don't want to put too much pressure on him or I, as he's just learning how to use the potty, and like, let's not slam our kids with pressure.
And you don't want to get your kid in there too soon when he comes home and says, Mommy, I want to be a girl now.
I actually do know a lady. I do know a lady that has 2 boys, and while her oldest was just starting preschool, her younger one being a year younger, year and a half younger, she enrolled him in a preschool, and he was in music lessons, and he was swimming, and he was doing all these things. I was like, I felt bad for her. I was like, what are you doing to yourself? Like, you are going to be running yourself ragged. She's an at-home mom, but plus she had some of her own businesses going on, and she looked tired all the time. She puts this pressure, parents put this pressure on themselves that their children need I'm going to say this sarcastically, that they need all the advantages, you know? It's like, I actually personally feel that I'm just going to let my kid be a kid for a little bit longer, and I'm not going to put this pressure on him, because he's got, you know, 12 years of school ahead of him, And we know how long of a road that is because we've been through it, right? Mm-hmm. So to go into it any earlier, I personally don't see it being like a big thing that will change and be a better, anything better than what we already have.
Okay, she's
I haven't
question.
Heard about it much in Alberta, so I'll send that question out. I'll write it down right now. I'll send that question out. I personally haven't seen anything as far as any literature or promotion.
Well,
for
yeah,
it.
What's going on here? What's going on in Ontario here seems to be somewhat ahead of what's going on in Alberta. So, you know, you may want to look into this thing because it may end up there as well. But there's another question.
I love you, Ontario.
There's another question Kathy has for you. And the question is, are school boards there like here representing municipalities within a county across multiple counties or regionally? If so, it might help affect change faster if there were like-minded candidates running as if a slate from each municipality with that country region. Now, I don't know. Kathy's obviously listening to the show, and we got a half an hour left.
Kathy is absolutely advanced. These questions are even above me and my knowledge.
I'm wondering if I could get you and Kathy in here, together here for the last half hour or something, and you guys could maybe get into a conversation about some of this stuff. Well, she may be able to give you a heads up on some stuff because because of her experience with children and that, and I don't have any.
I was just thinking the same thing. She sounds like someone that would actually, I would like to kind of pick her brain on a little while. I'm energy and some of the more experienced people in these fields are going to be people that I actually can be quiet for a minute and I know I talk a lot.
Okay,
I can be quiet for a minute and listen.
Well, how about I just bring Kathy in here for the last half hour if she wants? I'm going to bring her in anyways because I'd like her to meet you.
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to bring Kathy in and see if she wants to hook in here or not. And, Kathy's absolutely, she freaks me out. She's brilliant. She's a lot like you. She's energy plus, man. And
I would have my question for her would be a little bit more clarification on this last question.
Yeah, well,
are we talking about? Yeah.
Okay, I think I got her. Kathy, are you in here?
Yeah, just hang on while I change my audio over, okay?
Okay, all right.
Okay, how's that?
Okay, so Kathy, meet Karen, and Karen, meet Kathy. And
hi.
Kathy,
hey.
Kathy, you've been listening to the show here, so you know where Karen's coming from. And she'd like some little more clarification on what you're talking about, the regionality and municipality on the school boards and that.
Yeah.
So why don't I let you two have at it?
Well, I did put another comment in there. It may show up more clearly in Alberta's rural areas than it does right in Calgary. It may be more obvious in the rural areas, but where we live, we're looking at the school boards are usually, they operate like our county council. They represent multiple municipalities, and each municipality has a representative on that school board. But so it's kind of like the county council that you and I talked about, Ron.
Right.
Whereas, and on the county council, it's usually the mayor from each of the municipalities in that county. So in our case, we have 14 member municipalities at the county level. So you're looking at that number of many candidates to sit on county level boards.
Maybe we can do it this way. Karen, you're in Calgary. So your education board, how many, do you know how many people sit on that board for Calgary?
Ooh, actually, I was on the phone with Calgary Board of Education and when I was just starting to get my foot in on this process. I do have that information in my notes from the conversation that day, but I, off the top of my head, I don't know.
Okay, well, you said something important there anyway. You said you were on to the county board, right? So obviously that board must include some of the outlying towns around Calgary.
Yes, I believe so.
You need to find that out, because that goes into what Kathy's saying, right? So in other words, if you want to take more control of the board, then you need to find out what towns are involved and what towns send representatives to that board. And then you need to get to those towns and get people to run on the Cat County level to fill those positions. But those things you got to find out. I doubt very much it's just Calgary. It may be.
It could be. And in the largest, again, this is not my area of expertise because I'm rural, but in the large cities, you could see wards too, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but it's worth finding out, because if, and this is what I couldn't do when I ran for mayor, it would have been nice if I had had 13 other people from each municipality with like knowledge and like mind.
Yeah. All of us need to be talking about the same things, right? All of us need to be talking about the same things to make it a movement and to make it successful.
What it does, Karen, is it makes it very difficult for them to center you out at that point, okay? If you're running all by yourself, it's easy for them to hammer at you. But if you have like-minded people running as well, then it makes it very difficult for them to come at you as hard as I know they're going to come at you if you're running alone. But that's not to dissuade you from running alone, right? That's what it comes to. But between now and then, every effort has to be made to bring some like-minded people on board who are willing to stand up.
Well, and I'll tell you, I actually have we're going to be taking a break from some rallies because there's a couple other that we would like to just let them have focus on. And, of course, Canada Day is coming up. So people are actually going to be quite busy over this next month. It gives me actually time. I am not committed to any other real projects at this moment because I have to focus on this and go forward with what I propose that I want to do with the municipality elections. So over this next month and a half here, all this information that I don't have to answer these questions right now, that's going to be my job. That's going to be my business. I have the start into the procedure, and then I just have a lot to learn. So it'll be with the help from you too, of course. And thank you. Thank you for all these ideas on where to start.
Well, Kathy, you and one other person ran in the last election. But you can explain the importance of getting to the door. I mean, that's where you get the pulse on the door. You can have an open discussion with people at the door. You can put seeds in people's mind at the door. You know, you found, even though you knew and I knew when I run, they weren't going to let us in. but the experience was more than worth the trouble, right?
Well, you can carry a little folder full of documents with you and actually show them the actual proof of what you're saying if there's something particularly contentious.
That's great, because I actually do that. I build like my own little PDFs all the time, little public awareness PDFs. Yeah. I build them all the time, just like a church would be handing out information on their church. I hand out, this is what's happening, you know, with our liberal government. Or I make all sorts of info, and not actually, lots of my friends don't even know that I do this. Is once in a while, I mean, time permitting, I go out on my own and I do knock on doors. I don't even have a position I'm running for at this point. I'm just saying people need to know this, right?
Yeah.
Why do I get the feeling you two are related? You know, but see, this is all about hooking up, right? And it's not about, there's no yelling and screaming here, or you know, we just got a job to do, we're going to get it done. You know, it's as simple as that. So, you know, I see a lot of people, you know, yelling and screaming and carrying on and this and that and the other thing. And that's actually anti-productive.
Yeah, actually, I get really saddened when I'm listening to my friends, when I, like I said, when the brain is operating under stress, it's harder to, and when we're tired because we're working overtime on these projects and no one's getting sleep because of their fears. No one, people are not saying, you know, we're not speaking to each other properly. We're not getting our messages across properly. And so working together and having plans, it actually just really calms down that stress level. We get so much further in all of our initiatives when we're cool and calm, and when we have confidence, especially when we're supporting each other, that confidence builds too, right?
Yeah, and I mean, like, you're in a big spot there. Like, Calgary's, what, a million people or something?
Mm-hmm. 1.2,
so, you know, yeah, like, I'm in a very small town here, and Kathy's in an even smaller town. You know, you have so much population to draw from. Now, I don't know how many councillors are on the Calgary Council. Probably, I don't know what there would be there, 11 or more. On the Calgary Council, but you
people
have all
get those numbers for you right away.
it could be more than that. But the point is that you know, and I'm sticking with my numbers. If you have three people run for each council position, it's almost impossible not to come out with the majority vote in the end.
Yeah.
You know, very least, you're going to get people in there. So you're not talking the need for a whole lot of people.
No, when we're talking about like rural communities and we're talking about cities, one other thing that I hear a lot from people is that they want to leave the cities. They want to leave the cities. They want to go set up rurally, and because they feel that our cities are just doomed, right? Like that there's, you know, we see the overpopulation, we see the overflow,
our
systems not working. People want to leave, and they don't want to have, like, they want to, and they want to do that to protect and save their families too, because some of this stuff may just be getting violent here, right? When everyone's all fighting for their rights like this, and people want to go out to the to their rural communities, but at the same time, this is my city. I live here, and I've been here for 12 years, and I really enjoyed the 12 years up until this last year and a half, and more fears being put upon us. It's really hard for us, and I'm talking about some of these people that want to leave these cities. It's really hard for us to know what we know. We carry a big burden. We carry a weight knowing that there's serious issues that put our families at risk, right? And so what do? Do we walk away from our cities? Or do we hold down our city and we stand up for each other and our neighbors and our communities? Because I know if I leave, then that means I've got everyone in this area right now that actually feels the same as you and I, that are still here. And I don't believe in leaving people behind. I can't leave these people behind to be whatever happens in the future, right?
Well, there's getting to be too much flight mentality and not enough fight mentality. And when I say fight, it's not a physical fight; it's a mental fight. We need to stand our ground, right? And they would love you to move out of Calgary, I'm sure.
yeah.
Oh, Karen's going. Yeah. It's the same as my town. If I left this town, I'm sure the town hall would throw a party, right? You know, God, he's finally out of here. Thank you. We can go back to doing our satanic shit and nobody's going to bother
us. That's right. They're going to be happy if we just give up, because it's beating us down. It's beating us down. Way down we go. But I feel right now, no matter what anyone has said about me, I carry it forward. I keep working forward because I see that we win.
I know we win. You see the win. You can feel the win, right?
Yeah.
And if you bow down, right? If you throw your hands up, which so many people do, it's not worth the trouble, they'll say, or something, right? Then they win, because they'll say, well, Karen tried and she quit. You know, it's like we have a raw milk farmer here who's been fighting the system for 23 years. He's been dragged in and out of court for 23 years. He's had his farm raided up 10 times. You know, he has no quit in him because he knows right from wrong, right? And that's the whole point. And that actually empowers the hell out of people.
It's a good fight.
So, you know, like Kathy, has been through hell, and I hope you get that sorted out, my dear, with your daughter, because they're pulling some stupid stuff now. So Kathy's been kind of busy with that for some period of time, pounding away at the government. Hopefully that's all working out. But you won't quit. That's the beauty of it, right?
Well,
Kathy's not a quitter.
No. And just when it gets toughest, you know you're closest to winning, you know, so.
Yeah.
But it's,
okay.
You know, for sure. It's not easy.
It's not easy, but it has to be done.
Has to be done.
Right. And yeah. And it does empower people. And that's what this game's all about, empowering people, because there's so many of us and so few of them. Once we empower the people, they lose. There's no other way around it. They lose.
And that situation can change. That situation can change with the migration that's happening, with, you know, the people are there, like we're the right side. It's not about right and left. It's about right and wrong. We're the right side. They're the wrong side. And they are investing and recruiting and working really, really hard to be the majority, right? They're buying votes. They're buying their positions. And we can actually win this with, and we don't have to play that game. We don't have to use as much money. We just have to get real.
Yeah, we just have to stand up. That's all. They can throw all the money they want at it. Once the people decided that this is going to change, it's going to change, and there's not enough money in the world to make it not change. And that's the beauty of it. And once the fear is gone, then they're done. They're absolutely done when the fear dissipates.
When we're in these positions where we can actually make changes, then we can allocate those funds towards something that's good instead of manipulation and political ideology and all of the ass backwards agendas that they have. We can actually make changes that are positive in our communities.
Yeah, we can get back to being honest communities, right? And the communities that our forefathers built, where we didn't have government at that time, and they looked after each other's kids, they looked out for each other. If somebody had a problem, the neighbors came to help them. Now the neighbors don't even know each other half the time, right? They've separated us so badly from each other that gives them control over us. So we got to get back, and that means we got to talk to each other, which means we got to get on the doors, we strengthen ourselves, and we will win. What have I got here? It's 0.1% versus the rest of us, which is probably pretty close. Their numbers suck. they don't have the numbers, right?
We don't even need that. You and I were talking about this last night. We don't even need we're the 3%, the ones that give a damn, the ones that are going to fight, the ones that are going to go forward to try and make changes. And we, like I said, we can step up, and we do this work for the benefit of the silent majority, right? The ones that are just living day-to-day lives and not getting involved. We kick it up a notch with the work that we do. We gain the support. It doesn't require every single person in Canada. It just requires a good support system. And then as the people, as the communities, and as the silent majority get to know us, they're going to see that you know, there are more good people that care about their communities and their families as well.
And that's the whole point. And that's how it all changes. You know, like the whole point of this Rock the Boat thing is, and it came from that movie, Pirates of the Caribbean. And there's a scene there where they start rocking the boat because the Captain Jack or whatever his name is, he figured it out. Right. You know, we're kind of in the netherland or in the netherworld here. You know, while things look normal, they're not normal. and they rocked the boat till they flipped it. In other words, everything that was upside down is now right side up again, and that's where we got to get. We got to get right side up again. And once that happens, it's going to be like a huge sunshine coming down upon us. And the people that control us right now, they will run like rats. They will try everything they can, but once their propaganda has no more effect on people, they're done. And, yeah. And so we can't be silent. That's the whole point. We can't be silent. If we're silent, this is just going to get worse. Now, there's a couple of things, you know, I would like, and if Kathy has something here as well, but there's a couple of things that I'd really like your people to take a look at. There's an old movie. It was a TV series, and it's called America with a K. It was done in 1987, the same year that Our Common Future came out. And it really is an excellent depiction of where we are today. And in that movie, it's like this huge bureaucracy, right? And it's the Sovietization, which is what's going on of the West. And they show how they're feminizing the young boys. This is way back in 1987. And it shows the mass migration and the taking away of the lands of the people for the migrants. In this movie, the migrants were not Muslims. They were Europeans, displaced Europeans in that. And it pretty much nails exactly what we are today. And it's about the big bureaucracy and the boards and all. And there's that book from 1929 by a chief justice in England warning about what was going on in the West. And that's way back from 1929, and we were warned about it. And it's, again, this massive bureaucracy, and that book is called The New Despotism. Despotism.
Despotism?
Yeah, and that's well worth a read, because it will give you a very good idea of what we're involved in here now. History, some of the history is workable. And once people understand some of these things, then it makes much easier for them to understand what we're up against and how we can beat it. And I'm sure Kathy has some documents or something in her mind. Are you still with us, Kathy?
No, actually, I was thinking good one, The New Despotism, because yes, it speaks to what you're dealing with here is bureaucracies, and the school board is one, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Especially if anything at the county or regional level, or, you know, in between elected levels of government, is actually as a council, they cannot be unelected by any one group of people. So those are the places and the levels where a lot of the agenda is being implemented, because you can't unelect it. So, you know,
that's the thing.
That's the thing, that is the key, and The New Despotism was an excellent little background document.
Uh-huh.
Excellent little book. It's very short.
Yeah, and it really opens your eyes to what's actually controlling us.
You just said the word unelected. Oh, sorry, you just said the word, you can't unelect, a group can't unelect someone. I think people are experiencing that all over the place, where...
It's the same as your city managers or your CAOs, right? You have the city council, but your city manager or your CAO is not elected, right? And they're the ones that set the agenda for the council. You can change the council all you want, but the CAO city manager is still sitting there running the show. So it's all kind of smoke and mirrors, right? And people have to understand this stuff, because then they know what the targets are, right?
Well, and then this is where we're reacting. When someone's elected and then we don't like what's happening, exactly. Then we're reacting and there's nothing we can do about it. Whereas we should be taking the opposite approach. We should be proactive and just making our own news on it.
Well, yeah. You have to do the same thing that the people have done who have made it this way.
We have to know their motive operandi before we can fight it, right?
Yeah.
Or it's like you said, Karen, it's just this reactionary nonsense, right? Which doesn't accomplish anything. So,
well, in this conversation and all your guys' insight and experiences, like this, you guys are going to challenge me. This is going to be a challenge for me to catch up, for me to get to know the ins and outs of the system here. As I learned, like, I got a lot of reading to do. So you give me a couple more books here, a couple more things to read.
I got to jump in here for a second. The gentleman from Alberta wants to give your website, but you don't have a website, right? But you do have your Facebook. You do have your Facebook. So it's Karen, K-A-R-Y-N, Draper, D-R-A-P-E-R. So if you put that into Facebook.
I can give my email address too, okay, if anyone would like. Okay. K_Draper@shaw.ca.
Okay.
And I guess I need to build a website because
Yeah, this guy said he's run three times before, and he's got his act together here, so he's going to hook up with you, I'm sure.
Awesome.
And he nails this. They just moved the CAOs, which is the city managers, from the USA to Ontario, for example, and then to Calgary. These people are on the move, man. when things get tough for them in one place, they change out the CAO and they move them somewhere else. But these CAOs are all trained. We've got the documents. These CAO city managers are specifically trained to implement the globalist agendas at the local level without the knowledge of the councils or the people in the communities. These people are so crooked, it's ridiculous.
If they like to move around, then we'll put a tail on them. I'm so glad that this guy has a tail on them.
So I will send you the links. I have the links for the new despotism and that American series and a few other things that you may or may not be aware of, and I'll put them in your messenger on Facebook, and then you can take a boo at them. But I almost had a heart attack this morning, by the way, Karen. We were talking last night. I didn't get to bed till 3:30, I called you this morning, and nobody answered the phone. I got your business. Recording, and I'm thinking, well, this is good. You know, now it's 11:40. I ain't got a show. I don't know what the hell I want to talk about all for 2 hours. And then I call and I get nothing. And then I left you the message in your messenger and I get, call me back. Right. So I gotta say, and by the look of the chat here, everybody has absolutely enjoyed the hell out of this show today. So I want to thank you so much for doing this. And I also want to thank Kathy. Kathy hasn't been on here for quite a while, and Kathy is just a warehouse of information.
There's one more thing I'd like Karen too, and it's, she's got a lot of reading, but one other book I would recommend, because what you're dealing here with the new corporate governance model, and I mean it's everywhere, but really good little book too from 1992. I think it was reprinted in 1903 and several times. It was called a national bestseller, and yet very few average people have ever read it. But you see, Ron was talking about CAOs, so it reminded me of city managers. It's called Reinventing Government.
Okay, that's it, because we're going to hit
David Osborne, right, Ted Gabler. Okay, I'm out.
Okay, so Reinventing Government by
David Osborne and Ted Gabler.
Okay, and I think we're just about out of time. So I want to thank everybody that was involved in the show today. This will be up in the archives at UCY.TV shortly after the show is done. Oh, one other thing, 3:00 on deck, Hal behind the woodshed, who is always full of knowledge, always good, usable knowledge. So don't miss Hal at 3:00. And I guess we're going to say goodbye now. Everybody have a wonderful day. The sun's out here. I haven't seen sun here for over a week. So I think I'm going to go outside and enjoy it. Take care, everybody. Thank you. Everyone.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people, next in line, lower classes. and social slime. They don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for the war. They shit.